Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Hi, and welcome to episode 3 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, Seeing and Anticipating Shots. Before we raise a camera to our eye or set it on a tripod, compose the shot and choose the aperture and shutter speed, and then release the shutter, we have to see the shot. This is so obvious, but not always quite as easy as it seems. It's surprising how many shots we walk straight past each day just because we don't see them. Although I consider myself to have a pretty good eye for finding interesting shots, I was reminded of this yesterday while shooting in the Hamarikyu Park here in Tokyo. I was walking along when I noticed a dragonfly that flew past me. There's nothing strange. At this time of year, there are thousands of dragonflies flying around. The thing with this particular dragonfly was that it was carrying something. I couldn't see at first what it was, but it just seemed to be carrying something. I followed the dragonfly until it came to rest on a tree. I carefully walked over and crouched next to the tree, and as I peered through my 100mm macro lens, I saw that the dragonfly was starting to munch away on a small orange and black butterfly. Here I took the first photo that I want to talk about today, which is 701. Remember that you can see the photograph in iTunes or on your iPod, and also on my website, martinbaileyphotography.com. If you go to my site and find the podcast section near the top of the page, you can enter the number into the black box and click the orange button to view the image in my online gallery. Today, though, I will talk about multiple photos, so it might be better to click the orange podcast icon and look for episode 3 in the list. There you'll find a bunch of thumbnails that are linked to the full-size shots in my gallery. I actually wanted to create an enhanced podcast with chapters from now on, so that I could change the photos at specific times, but this apparently requires a tool that only works on Mac computers right now, and I still use Windows. I don't think I'll actually be going out and buying a Mac just to do this. I'll have to wait until the tool is available for Windows too. Anyway, for now, you will only be able to see the first photo if viewing on an iPod. If you're viewing in iTunes, then you can click through the photos instead of going to my website if you'd prefer. Also, something else I've been meaning to say is if you are looking at my photos in iTunes, note that iTunes will by default try to display the photo larger than it actually is. This will make it appear grainy as the photos are only 800 pixels wide. After you've clicked the thumbnail in iTunes and you're viewing the photo at full size, click the Maximize button once more, the center of the three buttons. This will make it appear at actual size, so it will appear much better. It won't be grainy. And you'll be able to see things how I really intended you to be able to. So, to continue with the point I wanted to make about the photo of the dragonfly, it's important to look for clues. In this case, the clue was that the dragonfly was carrying something. This helped me to get a shot of a dragonfly that was more than just a single insect sitting on a leaf or whatever. Another thing is that it's sometimes not the subject that you spot first either, but rather something that it left behind. If you're on a safari, you might track a wild animal from its footprints or droppings, but even in less exotic surroundings, you can use this technique. I was in a nature research park near my apartment in Tokyo recently, and I was thinking about wrapping up for the day and started heading for the gate when I noticed a lot of small black pellets, around 2mm across maybe, on the ground under a bush. I'd seen them before, so I knew what to look for, and lo and behold, the bush was filled with caterpillars. I'd not seen this particular species before, and was happy to find some huge black and orange caterpillars. They did make a great spectacle. I've not included any shots in this podcast to keep the size down, but if you search for caterpillar on my website, then you should be able to find them. Next, let's take a look at shot number 636 of a field of poppies. When faced with a beautiful vista or a sweeping field of flowers, it's natural for us to want to photograph the entire scene. However, although we see the world as though we're looking through a very wide-angle lens, the human eye is actually very selective. We switch in an instant from wide-angle to telephoto, and zoom in on areas of the shot that catch our eyes, but this is usually a pretty subconscious action. By all means, take the shot of the sweeping field of flowers. The landscape shot in all its glory is one of the most popular type of photographs there is, I'm sure. I certainly do enjoy taking that type of photograph myself. But also try dropping a telephoto lens onto your camera and try to pick out a few areas to zoom in on, as I did here. I ensured that the shot had some foreground with a number of flowers in relative sharp focus, and a taller flower on the left and a stem with a bud on the right of a similar height to frame the shot. I also chose a cut that had some distance between the main subject and the background, so that the background was far enough out of focus to simply provide a backdrop with some splashes of colour in it. I chose an aperture of f8 here to ensure that the foreground was relatively focused but the background was not. The result is that I have what I think is a successful shot, but what I was faced with was a wide sweeping field of poppies. Faced with this, it was not easy to see a successful shot. The spectacle itself was amazing, but to close in and focus on one tiny portion of the scene to get a successful photograph is not always as easy as it might seem. This is why I believe that developing the skill of seeing is very important to successful photography. So, I called this episode Seeing and Anticipating Shots. And to this point, I've really been talking about the former, seeing the shots. Now let's talk about anticipating shots. In nature photography, animals often do the same things over and over again. If you see an animal doing something that you find interesting and yet failed to capture the first time you saw it, continue to track it in your lens for a while. You will find that it often does the same thing again, and if your reflexes are good enough, you would have a chance of getting the shot the next time around. Animals also tend to feed and rest in the same places. Insects usually hatch from their eggs at the same time and the same place year after year, so going to a certain place at a certain time of day or time of year can help you get the shot. These are ways of anticipating what will be in a certain place at a certain time, but in a very broad sense, this is only a little more difficult than anticipating the time to be in a certain place to get a good sunrise or sunset shot. After all, it happens every day. We just need the weather on our side. Sometimes, though, by the time we see a moment, it's over, and we may never be faced with the same scene again. Therefore, watching and anticipating future events is a skill that, if developed, could help you get the shots that you want, and the shots will hopefully be a cut above the rest. In the next shot, number 704, at the bottom of the screen, you can see there are three people in silhouette. I actually noticed these people climbing the stairs between these high-rise buildings here in Tokyo, and I knew that by the time they got to the top of the stairs, they'd be in silhouette. So I raised the camera to my eye and waited for them to get there. I actually took three or four shots as they climbed up. I did want to have their legs in the shot, but by the time they'd reached the top of the stairs, the man on the left was actually behind the wall, so there were only two people left in the frame, and the balance just didn't seem right. So I opted for the one where you can't see their whole figures, but I think that the balance is better. I probably would not have even raised the camera to my eye if these people had not been there. So the point I'm trying to make here is that adding something like that, just a few people in the bottom of the shot, made what would probably have been a very boring shot just that little bit more interesting. And this is possible by just anticipating where people are going to be in a few moments' time, and of course getting your camera ready to take the shot. Another shot that I'm very proud of, this is one that I made about 4 years ago in Ueno Park, is number 36. I called this the Tall Men, for obvious reasons. These huge guys were waiting craned over the public toilet door, and someone was obviously going to come out sooner or later. I stood ready and waiting for the unexpected party to exit the toilet. As he did, he found these four giants peering down on him and simply ran while putting his hands over his head for protection, but also seeing the funny side, and so he burst into spontaneous laughter as he ran away. This really is another good example of anticipating what's going to happen next, or that something is going to happen next. The only thing I really regret about this shot is that it was taken with a 2-megapixel digital point and shoot. It was a camera that I owned during my transition from film SLRs to my first digital SLR. Finally, here are a few more pieces of advice based on my own experience. When walking along looking for photo opportunities, turn around every now and again. If you only ever look the way that you're walking, you know, in front of you, you may well miss things that are happening behind you. And at worst, you will not be able to see what the thing you've just passed looks like from the other side. Also, especially if you've taken a long time photographing something along the way, the lighting may have changed behind you, or say the mountain top that was in cloud when you did pass may now be in full view. I also tend to crouch down a lot and look at things from a different perspective, or climb up onto a raised area or a wall or something like that. Anything really to see the world from a different angle. To finish, take a look at photo number 625. I call this shot The Benevolent Smiles, and it was made possible by kneeling on the gravel ground of a Buddhist temple and using an angle finder, as these guys are only actually about 20 meters tall. If you like this shot as much as I do, then hopefully you'll be able to appreciate the benefit of just getting down a little bit lower, taking a slightly different look at things, basically seeing the shot. So that wraps it up for episode 3. As usual, you can contact me from my website either by clicking on the link from the Contact Us section from the top page or on the podcast page. Also, you can direct mail me from the forum if you take a few moments to complete the free sign-up process. I've also now created a podcast forum within my forum. This is somewhere that people can comment as well. I've also started to put a few links in there for other podcasts, photography-related and non-photography-related. So if you have any links that you'd like me to add, any sites that you think other people might be interested in, then please contact me with those as well, either via the forum or via the contact form. So I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode, and I'll speak to you again next week. Bye-bye. This has been a Martin Bailey Photography Podcast.